You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to this Monday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this lovely show, Tony East, covering the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News and the Fieldhouse. On the other line with me to cover only two games this past week, my lovely co-host Adam Friedman. Adam, Aaron Holiday had quite a week, didn't he?
Yeah, if he didn't make that shot against the Magic, it might have been the most miserable week for him. But it, well, I guess the first, he's pretty
no,
good,
he's good
the
against Nets. Brooklyn. Yeah,
yeah, good than that. But it definitely washed away a lot of the let's call it poor decision making towards at least the end of the game against the Magic.
Yeah, he had two blunderous. I think he had two in the last like 3 minutes. That was really blunderous.
Whatever that turnover that was, it Fultz that dunked it to tie the game. That was
I know for
atrocious.
Sure he won to Fultz. I want to look at the play-by-play to see how they track these turnovers down the stretch. But he also made the huge layup to get him up three with a minute 52 to go. So, yes, he had the turnover with 1:16 to go that led to Isaac getting fouled. So,
well, he was their best off-the-dribble offense all day. So, Sabonis was probably the best down in the post offense. And then McDermott was the best kind of off the screen and whatnot, but like in terms of just give somebody the ball and tell them to score, he was the best player to do that all day because Warren was just
Warren has 2 points. That was nuts.
So we were both at this game for one of the first
times. Updated stat, by the way. The Pacers, since the beginning of the Locked On Pacers show, the Pacers are 2-0 and both of us are in attendance.
So Warren, I think, clearly got benched for pretty much most of that fourth quarter if you look at the
Numbers. I'm confused that he only even had 4 shots.
Well,
28 minutes.
He looked just like disengaged the entire game. I could be wrong, but it felt that way.
It was weird. They had Holiday in, and then they had McDermott in, and they were just cycling through lineups. And that's like kind of what I talked to guys about in the locker room. Is like, yeah, this is good, but you know, that was kind of weird to me that he was out the whole time. And then when he was back in, Adam, he was the one who threw the pass to Fultz stole. Remember that he kind of got stuck on a drive and tried to throw it out to the top of the
game. Yeah, okay.
He got red the whole way. He threw that pass too, so he had just a really rough game. And I don't know, 2 points. I've never seen a game from him like this.
He's had a pretty bad 4-game stretch if you look at it, though. I mean, I'm pumping the numbers real fast.
He was really hot for a while. Now he's really cold again.
I mean, over the 4-game stretch, it's 28% from the field, 28% from three, 11 points per game. I mean, that's not great.
So some of it, like. I want to get back to Holiday in a second because we got through the bad part where he was struggling at the end. But I think Warren's numbers are going to go down when Lamb's healthy. I think that's just natural given that they both are going to like alternate each other's possessions of how they score. No problem. But only 2 points is just weird. Like Lamb himself hadn't played in a week and a half and at 14. Lamb was actually pretty solid.
Yeah, Lamb was good. I enjoyed seeing him back.
It was just odd. And I'm not going to freak – like, he's never had he's had some rougher games, like you just said, but he's never had a two-point game. So I'm not going to sound an alarm or anything yet, but that was very surprising to see. You know, he's had 30-point games in Charlotte with Lamb playing before, so just a little odd. But, yeah, Aaron's week was ridiculous. I mean, Brooklyn, that's the best I've ever seen him play. And
yeah, he seems like he's separating himself from the pack of young guys on this team.
I haven't read it yet. Scott just posted something in The Athletic about Aaron – this week, I'm really excited to read it because, in Brooklyn, you know, we've seen Aaron score, right? We've seen him be the microwave guy. That's what, remember when Vic got, not hurt, but like when he got banged up originally against the Hawks and Aaron had to play for the first time, he was really good in that game. He had like 10 or 12 points off the bench and we were like, wow, this guy's awesome. But he's never been a 20 points guy. We've known he can score, but not like score. And he added the assist to it. It was his best passing game ever. He was setting up guys in the pick and roll. Like nothing could stop him. It was literally the most complete game I've seen him play. And then to follow it up with a game-winning three was just an awesome week.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be up and down at moments just because of his inexperience. And as a point guard, he's probably a little more aggressive than he should be at times, whatnot. But I think he's, I'd say over the last 5 games, give or take, has sort of solidified himself as like there's too much good to not play him when he is bad, I guess is the right way to put it. And he's probably going to – I think at least he's kind of separated himself from the pack of like the Leafs and them And the Goga's for now is a guy who's like in the rotation. Now we'll see when Sumner comes back what sort of happens. Sumner was also starting to do that too.
Sumner's but out. If Holiday's like this, I think Sumner's out.
Yeah, but I mean, the way Sumner's playing to start the year, though, I mean, Sumner, I don't know. It comes out to a tough choice of Sumner, McConnell, and Holiday, of who you're playing of those two. Because
yeah,
at some point,
I tried you look to talk at about it last week, and I had Sumner out, but I want to give him another like shot. I don't know.
Like, I get McConnell's been great, and he's really been just, I mean, it's just been like a steadying force with the bench. I mean, he's been able to find that, like, McConnell's been able to find that, like, 5 foot, 2 point shot pretty much anytime he wants it and hits it at a pretty good rate. And he didn't make a three, but almost made a three in today's game.
Oh, that sucked. I asked him about that.
Ended up being a two. But I mean, at least the way Aaron Holiday is playing, it's like he's got to be one of the two. Now it comes down to, because I mean, even tonight he was kind of the point guard and he had some, I agree, some kind of stupider passes. But overall, I thought he at least played the position decently well. And I feel like as long as they can, when he plays on the bench, get him to get the ball to McDermott at times, it's kind of – you can basically do what McConnell does then.
If Lamb's going to go up to the three and you can cut out Leaf, which is easy, then I think you can get two of the three guards between Sumner, McConnell, Holiday.
Yeah, but, well, that's what I'm thinking they were going to do anyways.
Yeah, I also think that. But, yeah, I do not envy the decision. I'm glad they have more time to decide because it's going to be very hard to tell. Yeah, I mean, the case was pretty easily McConnell before this week to me. And it's only two games, so I'm not going to be like, oh, it has to be turned now. But, you know, yeah, McConnell was amazing for maybe I'm bullet smoke saying amazing, but he was so good for them for those 2 weeks that, you know, he really turned the bench around and he was their leading scorer in a few of those games. Like, him and McDermott had this chemistry that, like, you cannot separate them at all. And then in this game, he comes back and has 8, 7, and 5. You know, and it just shows having good point guard play is so important.
Well, it also is worth noting that in this game, the bench is what kind of helped the team win. So
it was.
I mean, I know we don't.
The Magic starters outplayed the Pacer starters.
Yeah, they did. I mean, Jonathan Isaac was awesome tonight. I mean, he was hitting everything. It felt like. But I guess, I mean, right, the bench five. I'm just assuming this is gonna. Let's just say right now, with Sumner out, is theoretically everybody returns. Vic returns. Brogdon returns. Is McConnell, Holiday, Lamb, McDermott, Goga, right?
Yeah.
So I guess you could probably assume that, like, one of those guys will be hurt for most of the time, and Vic won't play most of the time, that you could probably still get Sumner enough minutes to be worth, you know what I mean?
It'll be hard. It'll be really hard, I think, because you just skipped over Jay Holiday, too.
Oh, yeah, I did. You're right. I guess then it becomes – but
it's hard.
I guess if Sumner plays like he was playing those first eight games, I could see them justifying playing him over Jay Holiday.
Yeah,
we'll see. I mean, Holiday's been fine. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's just been kind of a nice – but he's been very up and down in a way that's like, well, do we need him all the time? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to, I do not envy the decisions coming. I think more information –
No, I mean, it's a good problem to have for this team that's down, what, like six players right now anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be super fascinating to see. I'm glad I do not have to be the one making these decisions. And the thing is, like, a lot of these guys have longer deals and will be around next year too. They only for sure – see the end of Justin Holiday's deal. So we'll have to see.
To be honest, if they could re-sign him, they probably would, because he's a nice, worst case 12th man.
He had six assists against the Magic. He had quietly a very, very good game against Orlando.
Yeah, was he really bad against the Nets? That one was like 0-8 or whatever?
No, he was good against the Nets. He was fine. He started. He played pretty well.
When was he? He had a bad game. It was one game this week where he had a bad
game. He was the Bucks.
The Bucks, he went 0-8, right? So I guess the thing that comes down to, too, is you have to assume, too, once all the stars are back, are those guys playing 38 minutes, too? Because then, who, you know what I mean, when it becomes big moments. I mean, I don't know. I think, like you said, it's going to be a tough decision, but I think for sure we can say, and this kind of what we went to next, is McDermott is for sure going to be in the – he might be the sixth man right now on the team, to be honest.
I said McDermott – so I did this segment last week, Adam, where I tried to pick the rotation. I had McDermott as a for sure.
Yeah, I think he's a for sure. He's playing awesome.
The way he's shooting – and now that they're putting an emphasis on him, like, to get him shots every game. You know, last year, I don't have it in front of me. I'm pretty sure he was like 6.5 a game or something like that. And this year, is that like 9?
8.1, but yeah.
8.1 this year?
Yeah, but it is.
Oh, I thought I was higher than that for some reason. Anyway, it's just 1.5 shots higher, but it seems like a lot more when I'm watching the game. Like, I think he's just getting more touches in general, and they're putting more emphasis on getting him the ball, and teams are running him off the line, but he's actually doing okay getting to the basket. Like, he has just been so good when he's now involved in the offense.
And so it's a couple things with him, too. It's one, that he's at his most career threes attempted per game and shooting the best percentage of his career so far, at like 44%. It's He's got about half a more assist per game, so he's passing out of it just a slightly more too, but it's setting up guys a little better, and he's making more of an effort to get down the glass to get rebounds on the defensive end. I mean, it's just all these little subtle things that have sort of propelled him from, I would say, sort of in the rotation, but not like fringe big-time minute kind of guy to like has to play 20 minutes at least a game.
He's in. He's awesome. Yeah, when I built it out, I was writing on a piece of paper, and Lamb and McDermott were the first two that I put for the second unit because I think they're just for sure there.
I mean, he's to me, he's sort of coming into the Kyle Korver role. Like, he's sort of becoming that player. Where Korver, for a little while, I mean, Korver's better, I think, obviously at his peak, but for a while, I felt like Korver, who it was a defensive liability, but he was just so good at doing everything else offensively, you had to play him basically, you had to as a team. McDermott's definitely making that case for the Pacers.
Yeah. The movement shooter role is so huge.
And they now have the passers too with McConnell and with Brogdon to actually get in the ball in good positions. And they have because they play so big, they have the guys who can set off the ball screen and stuff like that for when he moves. So it's just a lot of kind of perfect things for him going on right now.
Yeah, I'm glad. This is why they gave him the money last summer right away.
It's almost like the Pacers said, well, he's going to not be good for us the first year, but we know if he plays a bonus more and Turner more, and then we bring in another good point guard or two, that he's going to be really good for us, but we're just going to kind of
wait. This is why this is the player that David and the Jazz offered a hypothetical first-round pick for in the Locked On mock draft, because, like, especially the Jazz, who are letting Bojan take just ridiculous numbers of threes. Like, they let guys shoot, McDermott would be awesome for them. And even in the Pacers, who don't let guys shoot as much, he is huge for them because he's the best shooter that actually has a green light whenever he wants. And his decision-making, too, when to shoot, when to dribble, has been really good, too. He's just been way better than last year.
Oh, I didn't realize Bojan was at 7 threes a game.
Yeah, he's chucking.
20 points. Whew, man, I didn't realize he did that. That's a really good
stat. He's on fire, too. He's hitting a lot of them.
Yeah, he's got
average. He's top 10 in threes made in the league, I think.
He's quite the NBA player, I'm going to tell you that.
the Pacers School of Improvement on the wing. Strikes.
Yeah, I don't know how long this Bojan lasts, though. I mean, maybe it won't last for all 4 years of his contract, let's put it that way. It'll probably last this season, but I don't see it lasting into his 33 and 34 year, which is why the Pacers didn't re-sign him for that.
Still think you got to be happy getting a good player.
Yeah. Well, and the Jazz have a different window. I mean, their window's this year, next year.
Yeah, next year.
The Pacers were sort of like next year, the following year.
Yeah. But yeah, McDermott's been awesome. And it's funny we tried to talk about Aaron Holiday, but him playing good just lends to rotation discussions because it's like it's on the brain for me every game because every game feels like a tryout almost. And I wrote about that and I said that, but they're just trying to prove that they're good and they can play with XYZ player and this and that. That's tough. That's got to be A, tough, but B, it just makes every game all that more intriguing for people trying to figure out what it's going to be like afterwards.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it is a good problem to have because when you do have injuries, then you have guys who can step up. Like last year, the Pacers just didn't have guys after, the 9th or 10th kind of their bench.
Yeah.
You could trust to put up minutes.
Trevor Booker was like a massive signing 2 years ago because they needed a 10th guy.
Yeah, now it's like if anybody went down the season any injury, like maybe outside of Oladipo and Brogdon pretty much, it's like, well, it stinks, but we have the bench guys to sustain it, you know. Right. If it's a bonus went down, you could bring McDermott in and play to four, figure out how to switch Lamb and Warren out there and whatever, make that work. I mean, it wouldn't be great for this team if one of their top four or five guys went down, but they could sustain it at least in a much, much better way than they could in the past, at least.
Absolutely. We also wanted to talk about strength of schedule a little bit.
Yeah. Well, they're getting a little stronger. A little bit stronger.
Yeah, this week they have some tougher games. One of the teams they play with a bad record, actually a solid team too. But
Also have some tough games just the next like 2 weeks, considering the best teams I guess they only really play Philly and the Clippers in Boston.
But they have it's just road games. Like we've seen how Detroit's given them fits. Any Western Conference team, Oklahoma City on the road is tough. Philly obviously is very good.
OKC is garbage though, if I remember right.
Who?
OKC is garbage when I walk.
No, they've been literally. I was talking to Brady. I saw Brady Trantham tweet this. They literally have been in every game and they just lose, except for the Pacers. He tweeted like, "Exception of the Pacers" in parentheses. Oh, look, the Thunder are going to lose a close game that they were in. I was like,
okay. it was just a bad night. They were on a back to back, weren't they? Too or something like that.
No, they were not on a back to back. They just did not play very well.
Okay, I was just trying to give me a better excuse for how crappy they played.
Anyway, they're up to like fifth worst strength of schedule now because they played two of the better teams in the league last weekend. But right, that's what you just said. before.
Yeah, I mean, this week they play the Jazz and Sixers, who are both pretty solid. We'll talk about obviously Bowling a little later.
Hawks are okay too. I mean, they're 4-12, but they're like the good 4-12, you know.
Yeah, but I just mean in terms of strength of schedule, that actually leads to that number. Philly will change that. Then they play out the Clippers and they play Boston at home later on. So about two weeks ago,
it's gonna be fun. It's just been weird. Like they had an interesting favorable schedule, and then of course there are two hard teams. Like back to back without your best point guard. Great.
Yes, and really they could have won. They should have won the first one.
They played pretty well that game. James Harden is just unbelievable right now.
Yeah, he's just like the second best player in the league.
This tear is
third against Kawhi, maybe number one. Whatever. Luka
and Kawhi are making pushes this year.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the thing too is it's okay to have an Eastern schedule when considering they're right now the best two players have been out for three or four games. Give it four games now, pretty much. You know, he barely played in Houston and Brogdon. It's fun. I mean, if they can, you know, they're the fifth in the East right now. I think they're about a game and a half behind Philly, and they're probably going to be the fifth the entire year, barring some kind of heat collapse, which maybe we'll see.
They'll probably be sixth all year, won't they?
Oh, they're sixth. Sorry, they're sixth right now. You're right. They'll probably be sixth all year, yeah. Barring, I guess, I'm thinking that Toronto or Miami could have some kind of comeback to kind of the pack.
Unless Pascal gets hurt, I kind of doubt it. They're both really good teams.
Yeah, I don't know. The Heat, to me, feel like a kind of fake. I don't know why I'm not buying them yet. I mean, we haven't watched them. We haven't played them yet, so maybe that's why and whatnot. But
they're good.
Yeah, I know. But whatever it is, they'll probably be around the 60.
The discussion Pacers people don't want to have is when Sabonis doesn't become an all-star because Bam beats him out, because Bam has been ridiculous for the Heat.
What are Bam? Well, we can talk. We don't need to do this right now.
We don't have to do that now. We'll do that when the All-Star discussion comes up. But I was thinking about that.
Or when we play the Heat, eventually.
I was thinking about the All-Star discussions for the Brogdon's case, which is better than Sabonis's by a mile if he ever gets healthy. But it's like Embiid's for sure in, and Drummond's for sure in, and then, okay, third big, and then I thought of Bam, and I was like, ooh, maybe not. But we'll see. So
Bam's at 14-10, and then what's Sabonis at?
He's like, his on-offs are insane, and he's passing, and he's been awesome.
Yeah, well, whatever. The Pacers are probably going to hang around as a sixth seed. But frankly, if they're the sixth seed and somehow Miami and Toronto are the three seed, they still have probably a first-round shot, I would say.
They do. They do have a shot against both those squads.
And then, you know, it feels like if once you get everybody back, I mean, there basically are six teams in the East that are have a positive net rating. And there's a, you know, and they're the others, what, nine teams in the East don't. So it feels like – you're for the podcast, pretty much if you're a competent team in the East, you're going to have an easy training schedule because most of the teams are pretty bad. I mean, everybody below 500 outside the Pacers, that's after the Pacers, you know, in the standings.
Yeah, there's a big gap between six and there are already two games up on the Nets at seven.
Well, look at it. You got Nets are 7-8, Magic 6-9, 5-8 for the Wizards, and a bunch of teams that are 6-11 or worse from the
point. This is how the East is shaking out. 538 projects the Wizards to be the eighth seed.
Really?
Yeah, they have the number two offense in the NBA.
Yeah, they also have, the worst defense in the NBA?
Yes, they do.
I'm looking at net ratings right now, and they are literally the worst in D, I think.
Yeah, they've been horrible on defense. There's a reason that they gave up 150. They scored 150-something in regulation and lost.
You know, this is not net rating, but just points per game versus opponent's points. They're scoring 120 per game, but allowing 121 per game.
Sheesh.
That's ridiculous. Pacers couldn't even crack probably one. Have they cracked 120 yet this year, the Pacers?
I don't know. Did they against the Wizards?
They might have against the Wizards.
They might have just against the Wizards.
Let me look at the schedule real quick. They did again. Oh, yeah, Wizards and Charlotte. Yep.
121. Well, Charlotte was overtime too.
Yeah, that doesn't really count. At least net rating, that wouldn't count because you would more possessions.
That's funny.
Anyways, I digress.
Yeah, their schedule's been just odd, and they're a good team in these. They're going to have an easy schedule, but they're getting a little bit picked up the next game. I circled actually early December as the hardest part. Before the season, so
yeah,
the second hardest part. So we'll see.
You're probably talking the Clippers and the Kings, Bucks, Raptors, Heat, kind of run.
Yeah, right? All in a row. Before basically everything from like the 9th through New Year is hard.
Okay, and that's right around where we could see Vic starting to like right. ramp up.
Got to play their week ahead now, so we got to pivot to that.
Let's take a quick break and then do that.
So before we talk about the Grizzlies and the Jazz, I want to talk about my bookie, of course, because it is still Thanksgiving week, which means I have to talk about their awesome promotion they're offering for the Bears-Lions game. You just pick one of the teams against the spread on mybookie.ag for up to $250 bucks If you win, congrats. You win, you get the extra holiday spending money. And if you lose, guess what? MyBookie will give you all your money back because they're doing an awesome Thanksgiving giveaway. No brainer. You literally cannot lose. Doesn't matter if you're good at betting or not, first-time customer, whatever. They welcome anyone to do this. All you have to do is go to mybookie.ag, make a deposit with the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. They'll match your deposit dollar for dollar, and you can be a part of this guaranteed no-lose risk-free bet. I mean, what is better than that? That's mybookie.ag, code LOCKEDONNBA. Go check them out and let them know that you came from the Locked On Podcast Network.
So first up this lovely week is the mighty, or not so mighty, Memphis Grizzlies tonight. I say mighty because they're like fun and they try and they've got all these cool young guys, including Triple J, indie legend, but they're not very good.
No, they're not.
Their offense kind of stinks. It's last in the league. Their defense is 24th. They're 7th in pace. They fly up and down with John Morant. They have really cool Vancouver jerseys. If you haven't seen them, look at them. But they're just not very good, and that's just because they're young.
Yeah, they're still very young. Now, this team did beat the Pacers last year in Memphis on the one game that Vic didn't play. But
first game without Vic, and Conley was good, and Bruno Caboclo was good. And
so
such a deflating game.
So what's your feeling on Malcolm Brogdon for this game, or this week's games, I guess?
Yeah, he's kind of been like around practice and warming up in sweatpants and stuff. So he's like kind of healthy. But I don't know that he is going to go maybe Monday. Maybe he'll be back Wednesday. If not for, I think he'll definitely be back by their road games, I think. But I don't actually know that.
So you think he's going to be out for probably won't play the back-to-back for sure.
Yeah, I think the back-to-back might be when I circle that he might be back. But if he misses the first game, I guess he misses the second and they just wait until next week.
Or they do the thing where they play on the second at the back-to-back. They would Turner last time, right?
Yes, that is what they did with Turner.
Which might be the right move because Philly – we'll get to that game. We'll get to that later. I don't need to get too shy off that game. Okay, so it feels like, though, for the Memphis game, they should be able to win with the team they had played on Saturday. Same guys.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are just not super good. I mean, they just played the Lakers really tough. Maybe I'm telling them a bit short, but, like, Adam, if you have their B-Ball Ref page up
– I do.
You know, we always talk about the graph sizes – where it, you know, it shows how big.
Yes. Ooh.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. So they either barely win or they just get slaughtered. They lost to the Magic that the Pacers just beat 86-118. They lost to Dallas by 16. They lost to Denver by 17. They lost to the Warriors, who are literally the worst team in the league, by 19. Like, they just, when they lose, they really lose.
Yeah. Can I tell you the matchup I'm excited for, though, in this game?
Is it John Morant versus anybody?
No, I think John Morant versus Aaron Holiday, the battle of the young guards.
Yeah, John Morant is a hoot to watch, man.
He's going to torch him, I feel like. Just let's be real.
Who, Morant's going to torch Holiday?
Probably, right?
Yeah, he's really good.
I mean, if Holiday can shut him down, one, that would go a lot way to boosting Holiday's confidence and show that he's not a terrible defensive player. But Morant's just really good, I feel like.
Yeah, they're going to go Morant the pick and roll. It's going to be easy to score. I'm excited for Valanciunas versus Sabonis. A little Lithuanian love down low. It's always exciting.
Okay, that's not a bad one.
Not that it's like the best matchup. It's just they spend all summer together. And I'm excited to see my man Brandon Clark, who is amazing, and it's a sixth man for this team already.
Is Brandon Clark the one who was drafted? Was he drafted this year?
I really wanted Brandon Clark.
Right, he's the one you fell in love with during the draft.
Him and Grant Williams both were my draft crushes. And they were both available for the Pacers. Although
he's having a really good – no, he's having a really good season. I'm sorry. I correct that.
Clark's awesome, man.
Yeah, 60, 44, 85 season so far.
Yeah, he's been really good. And he's a good defensive player.
So he'll go up against, well.
Sigh. But he's, you know, I think a lot of reasons he fell. He's 23, but.
So he's playing power four off the bench or center?
Yeah, he's their first sub in their big rotation right now.
Okay, so he'll match up against like a Warren or a McDermott probably then.
Yes. Or, you know, they had Leaf play against the Magic a little bit.
Oh, yeah, they did. You're right.
But, you know, a little Leaf. But, yeah, the Grizzlies actually have, like, a surprising number of useful players. Not necessarily good, but, like, you know, Brandon Clark is good. Like I just said, Kyle Anderson's a useful bench player. Tyus Jones is a steady guy. Solomon Hill, we all know, is ridiculously overpaid, but he's fine off your bench. And then Grayson Allen is not good, but he's useful. Same with their Marco – oh, man. I always say this wrong, and they said it wrong on the broadcast one time. Maybe, man. Marco Guderich is a – okay for them off the bench as well. So they have like solid bench players, but not good bench players. So I understand why this game might have to be won by the starters, which is not a big deal. I mean, the Grizzlies highest minute player of the season has been Jae Crowder. Like that should tell you all you need to know about there.
Well, in Grizzlies' defense, if Andre Iguodala didn't just bitch out and not play, I mean, they would have a decent.
They don't want him to play. They want to lose.
Well, do they? I don't know.
They mutually agreed he should not come to training camp.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure that. I mean, do they? I mean, if they knew they were going to have this team, for example, where they're going to have kind of enough kind of young pops, would they want not to play them? Because they could be decent. I mean, I don't know what the playoffs look like.
No, they should not want him to play. There's just no point.
No, but like, if he was playing, you're telling me they wouldn't probably win one or two more games, I guess, and be in the playoff hunt at least right now?
And I don't think they want to be in the playoff hunt is the thing.
Okay. I mean, that's weird. I mean, I get why you want another young player in the draft, but like at some
when I
you
have two pick young is players. Protected. Their outgoing draft pick is protected too, so they really.
Yeah, I mean, that way you get a 15 pick, you kind of dump it. And then you
can, they really don't want to be in the playoff hunt.
I don't know. I guess to me, maybe it's because as a Pacer fan, and we don't ever do that, but it does feel like when you have two young guys, the kind of the progression is to make the playoffs their second or first second year, and then that's how you get.
I think it's a little later than that for this team.
I know, but it does feel like this team is sort of at that, and at least next year will be at the point where it needs to start making a playoff push attempt to meet the eight.
I think it's like 2 or 3 years away from that still.
Really? I mean, when you
they are just now starting. They had Conley and Gasol to start last year.
Yeah, but I'm thinking,
literally year one of a rebuild.
But no, last year was a rebuild, and that's so
no way. Last year they thought they were trying for half the year. You can't call that a rebuild in a year.
It was first of all, the last 2 years have been rebuilds considering the picks they've had 4 and 2. So, I mean, to call them not rebuilds is kind of BS in their mind, at least.
2 years ago, they got the fourth pick because both Conley and Gasol got hurt.
I know, but last year was a rebuild in a sense. I mean, I get they didn't wait the last minute to rebuild, but it was a rebuild after the trade deadline when they dumped Gasol, at least. And then it just feels like when you have two young guys, the goal is to kind of like start being competitive because then you have a situation where you end up like the Timberwolves where you have two great young guys, but you're still tanking and then they just think losing is okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe I'm reading too much into that. I just feel like
they're young and not very good this year. I mean, three of their starters are under 24. Brandon Clark's under 24. Tyus Jones is under 24. Guderick is 24. Grayson Allen 24. Like, they're just young.
Yeah, but before the year, everybody was hyping up the Pelicans, how, well, they're going to have this blend of veteran talent and young talent. They can make the playoff push, right? Well, the Grizzlies are a little bit before that, probably a year before where the Pelicans are at, but it feels like they could have been that team this year if they had just sort of given it a little more of an effort, I guess.
I don't know how they could have. They had no assets.
Well, they have if they didn't Andre Iguodala not to just sit at home.
Yeah.
Well, he's a good basketball player. He would legitimately provide good, and they've got.
They don't want to be good
between Crowder and Valanciunas and him. They've got just like good NBA players.
If Andre Iguodala doesn't want to play there, is he even going to be good when he does play?
Well, I mean, at some point you kind of have to make. I mean, I don't know. You can make him play essentially. What you can not pay him, right? You can just spend him the whole year.
I have to. I had to back up my pre-draft talk. So my butcher is going to be Brandon Clark, Adam.
Okay,
That's not a bad one. He's their fourth leading scorer. Off the bench, only in 22 points a game, scoring 12.4. He can shoot. He is great in the dunker spot. He hits his free throws, although he doesn't get fouled that often. He rebounds. He's a good defender. They're going to have their handful with him on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Valanciunas, my non-Jaw.
Yeah, obviously, Jaw's going to be awesome.
I think Valanciunas will be a handful for the Pacers because I feel like he always is, from what I remember in the past. Yeah,
Valanciunas is per 36 numbers, 18 points, 13.7 rebounds.
I just remember when he used to play at the Raptors, he was always a handful for Turner, or I guess Valanciunas ended up playing a little bit bench units, it'll be a problem for Goga and whatnot, so we'll see.
Look at Valanciunas hitting his free throws.
Yeah, he's
95.7%, only taking 23, but still only missing one. Well done.
That's impressive for a guy who was like in the 60s at one point.
That is impressive. Well, I just consider any big man shooting off the line super impressive because then you can't foul a guy who's inside all the time.
Yeah, but some of them are good free throw shooters.
So the Grizzlies are a good assist team. They're third in the league, 27 assists per game, a lot of ball movement. They don't have a lot of guys. Like, I think that's why they're, like I was surprised by John Morant's 3-point percentage, Brandon Clark. They like to have catch and shoot situations and set guys up. That's just. Got to stay home on your man and slide around on D. I think that's crucial. It's not going to be like a one-on-one. You have to shut X guy down. Obviously, Morant's hard to guard. He can dribble, but you just got to – it'll be a team defense performance.
Yeah. I think they win, though, the Pacers do. Oh, well, X-Factor's real fast. I guess your X-Factor is team defense?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a compliment, but I'll take it.
I think mine's at the 2-3 Warren Lamb. They should have a pretty easy day for them.
Yeah, Crowder and Dylan Brooks are not much of anything.
There just isn't a lot of talent on the Grizzlies. Have good young point guard. They've got a veteran talent in Valanciunas. They've got some good bench play, but they just don't have a lot of talent at the two and three spots.
Yes.
It should be an easy day for those guys. Lamb looked pretty good coming back, as long as he can stay healthy. I think he's due for kind of a nice little run here because, I mean, he can fill kind of the void of not having Brogdon, so he can take some of those shots and just, yeah, I think he's in for a good little run.
Yeah. So I also think they win. After that, they play another fun, bad team. I think the Hawks have one of the most misleading records in the NBA. They were 3-3 and looking okay, and then they had three.
They play the Jazz first, Tony.
They do play the Jazz first.
So we'll do the Jazz first.
Pardon me. We'll talk about the fun, bad team, the Hawks, in a minute. The Jazz are actually good. They have the best defense in the NBA. No surprise. I think if you have Rudy Gobert, you're guaranteed a top 5-3 defense, whatever. But they're first because they have other good defensive players. 18th in pace. Offense has not been awesome. They're actually taking much fewer threes than last year. I think their drop from last year to this year is bigger than the Pacers' drop of threes, which is crazy. Which is even crazier because they just added Bojan and Conley instead of Rubio and Favors. But because their defense is so good, they can get in transition a lot. And Mitchell's been really good creating his own shot. And this Jazz team has looked really good this year.
Yeah, I mean, the former Pacer, Bojan Bogdanović, we talked about before, is like 21 points per game on like a 46, 45, 87 shooting.
He is a number two option right now on a team with title aspirations.
Yeah, well, that's because Mike Conley hasn't quite
Conley's been junk. Not junk, that's wrong. He's been bad finishing the ball this year. He's shooting 38% from the field. That's miserable.
He's been better than the last, you know, 10 games, right?
He started atrocious. I think he was like 1-for-15 in his first game.
Yeah, if you take his last eight, Conley's at 18 points a game on like 43, 43, 77 shooting.
Yeah, that's good. That's
yeah. Good. I just remember he was so bad with the year. It was kind of the TJ Warren thing, right? Where you're so bad to start the year, your stats are just screwed for like 3 months.
Yeah, they've been an odd team. Odd shooting team. You know, there's like Joe Ingles is supposed to be a good shooter for them. He's shooting 29% this year from three, and he's not starting anymore. Instead, they have Royce O'Neal starting for his defense and shooting. And Royce O'Neal is shooting 51.4% from deep, only two a game, but still.
Can I say something real fast?
Sure.
I am on this podcast after all. So I remember 2 years ago, I called Joe Ingles a poor man's Bojan, and I could not have taken more shit for it from Utah Jazz fans because they're the absolute worst. Yes, you Jazz fans are the worst. You can tweet at me some more. At Lockdown Pigeon, every man in five. I don't care.
Look at you now, Adam.
Look at me now, 2 years later. You have Bojan. First of all, he makes more money than your Joe Ingles crap. Who that was your guys' first argument. It was like, well, he makes more money than Joe Ingles because Joe Ingles on a new contract. Bojan wasn't at the time. Really made like I think 12, and Bojan made like 10.
David got this going. It's David's.
But and now in just terms of playing, yes, Joe Ingles is your poor man's Bojan because Bojan is like clearly your second best player in the Jazz, and he's clearly
second best offensive player. Second best offensive player.
In the, you're right. Gobert's second best player on the team, maybe the best player on the team, even if you do both ends.
Yes, I very clearly think Gobert's the best player on the team. Anyway.
Yes. Well, Mitchell's pretty good. Let's not be honest.
I don't want to be.
Anyways, I have one that I get to. In hindsight, I was right. So everybody shut the fuck up.
Bojan is on a tear again. Like we said earlier, 45% from deep on 7 attempts a game is nuts. He's getting his free throws down. He's involved in the offense, and you know Mitchell is obviously their primary guy. But just having Bojan be able to do all this stuff is awesome. I just saw a hilarious video of him late in their game against the Warriors, or he booped a ball off his head to the ref because he was frustrated. He's still the Bojan we know and love.
So the thing about Bojan, too, that I find hilarious is, so he came in the league so late that, like, if he came in when he was 22, this run would make perfect sense, right? You know, at 26, he makes a little bit of leap, and then 27 makes a bigger leap, and 28 and so on, right? And so, but then you look at him and you
think he's 31 this season.
Well, and you think he's 35 because his hairline is just like keep. And that's, I mean, it's one of these things where, like, you know how a lot of the international players, especially the ones, the African players don't have their age right because whatever they don't have, people think like Ibaka, people think he's 60 and same with Thonmaker and whatnot. I wonder if Bojan, it's like the opposite where like they have his age the wrong way where he's maybe like 27 actually, but they call him 30 because he's, I mean, having this kind of like mid career leap at like 29 and 30 has got to be like almost unprecedented. I mean, to go from like literally a 26, 11 point a game kind of guy to a 20 point a game in 3 or 4 years is kind
of
weird.
The Pacers school of wings, Adam.
Yeah.
The Pacer school wings. PG80, GR3, Bojan, TJ Warren's in it right now. It's a thing, man.
Okay. Well, I mean, Paul George, too. I mean, that guy was nothing until he...
I said PG.
Oh, you did say PG.
The first guy I said.
I'm sorry. I thought you said GR3. You said GR3.
No, I said both of them.
I know. I heard it. I only heard GR3.
Selective hearing, Adam. Unbelievable. I'm being called out. So Gobert missed our last game. I believe it was Saturday. I believe he'll be back because he was a game-time decision for that game. They started Tony Bradley because Ed Davis, their backup, also hurt right now. He will be reevaluated. He will not play in this game. He is still a ways off. You know who they signed, Adam, to fill their backup center mold?
Niang, right?
No, Juwan Morgan. IU great. Oh. Juwan Morgan.
Well, the old Jordan Niang on their team, isn't he?
Yes, they do still have Niang, and their backup center is really Tony Bradley right now, who they drafted in the first round 2 years ago. But I'm glad to see Juwan Morgan make an NBA team. Pretty cool.
Nice. So the thing with this team, especially, is the Pacers last year owned this team.
They did. They smoked.
Particularly the Aaron Holiday owned this team.
McDermott owned this team. Remember how good he played in Utah? That was his best game of the year.
Remember Holiday had 2 20-point games against them?
He did.
Or 19-point games.
Played the first time these two teams played.
I thought he played both. No, it's right. He played the game after the first.
He did play the second one, and he played very. You are right. He played very well in Indiana against this team.
So.
Doug was a scorcher, and I think he led the team in points in Utah. He was awesome in that game. I wonder if that has a bearing on David's desire to get him.
That could be. It's the old, the Doc Rivers effect.
Doc Rivers effect. So how have we gotten this far and not talked about Mitchell?
I was going to say the obvious butcher probably for this team is Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, he is like ridiculous.
And if Brogdon's not there now, he's the butcher.
He's taking a lot of threes and hitting them. He's clearly their main scorer, 26 a game. And just having that guy in year three, 26 a game, efficiently is nuts. He's been really good for them.
Is he going to be able to make the All-Star game? I guess Steph's not going to make it this year, right?
Yeah, no, without Steph and Clay, he's definitely going to make it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Luka will get one of their two spots. So
Luka, Lillard will get one, and then him, and then Harden?
Yeah, Harden and... Sorry, Devin Booker, man. You keep being really good, but Mitchell's been awesome this year. I just can't keep him out.
Yeah, okay.
He's just a beast. No one's been able to guard
him. I think he's the obvious butcher, him or Gobert, I guess.
Yeah, those are the two guys you pick. Because Gobert, the reason I think he's the best player on this team is just, like, again, guaranteed top three defense. When he's out there, it's so hard to score. And I think some of the reason the Pacers did so well is because they were able to get shots away from the basket that were good looks against this Jazz team last year and hit them. Which is not always like a consistent strategy. You can miss some of those shots that are, you know, those 10-foot jumpers. But they have the personnel to make those shots this year with Lamb and Warren and Brogdon. So maybe they can do it again. But Gobert is just amazing. Like he will, if he's on Sabonis, Sabonis is just neutralized for like a ton of the game.
And I think you just kind of led right into my X factor, and that's is can TJ Warren pull some of that mid range magic out again and have like a 11 of 15 game where he hits eight mid-range floaters and just kind of neutralizes Gobert because he's just is making a lot of 12 to 15 foot shots.
I hope Warren has 45 points so I can shove it to you people who say, oh, Bojan's a good defender now because he played for the Pacers. I need a voice for people I think are stupid in my mind.
That's a terrible voice. Don't use that one ever again.
Sorry, I hate it. Okay, yes. He was clearly way better than he used to be as a defender. That does not mean he was good. I still think he was a bad defender.
Can I say something too? I think at the end of the day, I'd still rather have Lamb and Warren instead of Bojan.
I don't know. Bojan's awesome.
Yeah, but having two players that it just, I mean, I guess the bench has been really good this year. So they somehow have 12 good players, but maybe it would solve that problem. But it really does extend their bench in a way that they just didn't have last year. And we saw with Bojan as your second best player, you're still just kind of limited.
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be their second best player. Supposed to be like their fourth best player.
No, but if he's there, I mean, I don't know how, because they probably still could have got Brogdon, right? There's probably a way they still could have got Brogdon and Bojan on the same team, right?
Yeah.
So he's in your third best player, and maybe you're not as limited. Maybe that's okay, but I don't know. It's still, I think I'd rather just have the depth than have Bojan, because I do feel like when it comes down to crunch time in a playoff series, you're just better off like that. But that's just me thinking that.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. Gobert's just so good, and we'll see.
So I didn't my X factor. What's your X factor?
Oh, TJ Warren is a good pick. They have any crampy bench guys? Yeah, maybe Goga actually, because Gobert's out. They're playing Tony Bradley. Goga was good against the Magic, as you all saw. He was hitting the shots. His defense was really good. He can shut down a lot of guys when he's playing like that. And if he can actually hit his shots with Gobert at a game, you know, they're going to have to play him more. He'll be more tired. It's important that he plays well.
Yeah. I think this game's a toss-up. I don't really know who to pick, to be honest.
Yeah. It's tough. They're good, but it's a home game for the Pacers. So
I can see. And if Brogdon's back, I think it's really, really toss-up.
Yeah.
Just because I think Brogdon can at least stem some of Mitchell's, wow, Mitchell's offensive efficiency in a way. You know what I mean? So that's, well, we'll see. I really don't have a good feel for this game because I think that it could end up going the Pacers, which because it's a home game and whatnot. And the Jazz, I think it's like the game of a 5-game road trip for them and whatnot. So, sucks to be traveling on Thanksgiving. It's a five-game Thanksgiving road trip. Is not fun. Certainly not. So I don't know.
I preseason picked the Jazz, I believe. Let me look at the sheet. I did pick the Jazz, so I'm going to stick with that, actually. I think they're good.
I picked the Pacers, so I guess I'll stick with that.
Oh, look at you. Disagreement. All right, let's take a break, and then finally I can talk about the Hawks, who I tried to talk about earlier. Adam, quick note before the Hawks. The Pacers just assigned Alize Johnson to the G League.
Interesting.
Get him some reps, I guess, right?
Yeah. Is there any news on Oladipo going down there to play some games too?
No, that's just the news really said that Naz and Alize are going down, which we talked about Brogdon. Naz going down actually could be a sign that Brogdon.
Yeah, that means Brogdon's probably good.
Back sooner than we thought, which is good. And that means they definitely have confidence in McConnell, responding well to playing again.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Hawks, again, like I was trying to say earlier, they started 3-3. They were 4-7. They were like capably good, and then Trae Young got hurt. Obviously, he's back. They're 4-12 now. Their defense is terrible. Their offensive rating is terrible because Trae missed a bunch of time. They're 11th in pace. So they're like the best crappy 4-12 team ever because their defense is literally atrocious. Like, they have some of the worst defensive players and defensive roster ever. Their offense is awesome because Trae Young is awesome, and that makes them dangerous every time they play.
Yeah, and it might be just recency bias, but I just don't fear a Hawks team until they have actually like had a decent season.
No, I totally understand. I don't think they're going to like instill fear in anybody. I can't believe people were picking them as like the sleeper playoff team in the East. That seems
well. I mean, to be honest, the East is terrible with the 8 seed, so they could still make the playoffs.
I don't know. They're 4-12.
Yeah, but the 8 seed in the East, I believe, is 7-8 currently.
That's
or no,
true.
6-9 six currently. And nine. So if it takes 33 wins to get in the 8 seed,
the Magic lost last night to drop from 6-8, and they're still the 8 seed.
they're only 2.5 out. I mean, I know that's a lot of games considering how many they've played so far, but
if Trae can do what he does, man, maybe they got a shot.
I mean,
I am a huge Trae Young fan.
35 wins might get you the 8 seed.
Yeah, that's so true, actually. That's what 538 has the Wizards at. 37 is the 8 seed.
37. Ugh.
Gross. I hate that. I know.
I don't trust 538, They're not gonna make making predictions.
Understood.
It's
that's how odds work, Adam. Anyway,
it's kind of a joke because of other stuff.
I understand. Trey's averaging 26-9. He's obviously the butcher. He can carve up literally any defense, even the best defenses in the league at this point, because he can shoot from thousands of feet from the basket and score, and he's a master in the pick and roll. The thing with the Hawks that's problematic is outside of him, no one can really create. I mean, their backup point guard, DeAndre Bembry, is only averaging 3 assists a game. They just don't get a ton of creation from anybody else. They're very reliant on Trae Young. And the problem is Trae Young's defense is so bad that it's hard for them to completely outplay teams when he's on the floor because of that. So it's pretty easy to score against the Mighty Hawks.
Yeah. Can I ask what happened to John Collins?
What do you mean what happened to him? He got hurt.
He got suspended,
remember, for PEDs.
That's right. I couldn't remember. I was trying to – I'm looking through their injury report. He's down the injury report. I'm like, why is he – okay, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, he got to – I think it was – no, never mind. It was his son's player who had the dyetics.
No, it was DeAndre Ayton who had the didn't take the drug test right.
No, he dyetics are like a thing you use to get drugs out of you.
That's what they
call it.
I understand that. I just couldn't remember what happened to John Collins. Okay, that's right.
That's another thing that's causing them to be bad is he played their first 5 games and hasn't played since. They've been starting Alex Len ever since, and Alex Len's kind of a punchline NBA player. He's not truly a terrible guy. Last year he could shoot threes. This year he can't, though, so he is much – or so far, at least. So he's been worse and less helpful for them. They've started Damian Jones sometimes. It's just been a weird year for the Hawks with guys in and out of the lineup. And, frankly, because their defense is so bad anyway, when you don't have a consistent lineup, it's really hard to put together a defense.
I mean, just to pick a guy that's not Trae Young to be the butcher, I mean, Jabari Parker's having a
resurgence. Pretty decent year. Resurgent Jabari Parker.
51% from the field. It's pretty good on 16 points per game. Good not great of three, but, you know.
Well, they've finally figured it out. I don't know who on the Hawks figured out how to tell him, but just like, Jabari, do not dribble. Dunk and pass. And it's working. He is done good. He's like focused on rebounding and he's shooting a lot at the basket. And it's like, oh, hey, Jabari's pretty good when he does this.
Is that 2013 or I think it's the draft the most disappointing in terms of what it could have been to what it became?
Well, Wiggins is good now too. What the heck?
Yeah. I guess, I mean, like, at one point, did Embiid go third? I guess Embiid's been awesome. So
he's been amazing.
But like, at one point, it was like Wiggins and Parker were going to be like the next version of like LeBron and Carmelo Anthony, right? I mean, I know
people loved those two guys.
People have their Melo takes, but for a good 10 years, Melo was a great NBA player.
He's
so
he's a Hall of Famer. It was amazing.
Yeah, and so people thought Jabari and Wiggins would be that, and they're obviously not now.
This top 10 in retrospect is horrible.
I don't have the top 10.
Okay, so Doug McDermott, Pacers wing now. Doug McDermott went 11th. Okay, tell me how many of these guys you'd rather have McDermott than. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Wiggins 1, Jabari 2, Embiid 3. Aaron Gordon 4, Exum 5, Marcus Smart 6, Julius Randle 7, Nick Stauskas 8, Noah Vonleh 9, and Elfrid Payton at 10.
Okay, so I'd definitely rather have McDermott over Exum, Exum, Stauskas, Vonleh, Payton for sure.
I would definitely take him over Randle as well. I think the only guys I wouldn't are Marcus Smart and the first four. Well, before the season, I would have taken over Wiggins and Parker for sure.
Wiggins Parker for sure, I still think. Maybe
yeah, Jabari's still a maybe. But not if Wiggins is this good, then definitely not. But McDermott looking like a top like 7 or 8.
And look who went 14 in that draft.
Hey, TJ Warren right there too.
Zach yeah, you a lot better 11 through 15
is better than
– No, 11 through 20. I mean, yeah, Gary Harris is pretty solid
Gary
player.
Gary Harris is in there.
Yusuf Nurkic when he's healthy is really good.
Yeah, Saric is good. Yeah.
Yeah, much better. Much
what a
better
weird 11. Draft. What a weird draft.
That's one of those drafts where you would actually – oh, Bogdan went 27 in that draft. Bogdan. Sorry, Bogdan went 27.
That's
Kings. Still a good player, though. I like
Capella's
Bogdan.
Capella's good, though. Rodney Hood is good.
Harris went second. Joe Harris went 33rd.
Jokic. The Jokic draft.
Jokic went 3.
Dinwiddie. What a weird draft.
Yeah, wow.
All that Clarkson. To say, though, good for Jabari. But, like, Cam Reddish is the backup point – playing, like, backup point guard. Evan Turner was out, and they needed him to play. Cam Reddish is terrible. He's shooting under 30%. Like, that's unbelievably bad.
Yes. Yes, yes, like it is. I mean, no matter what. Do you want me, you want a different response from me? Because that's yes.
Yes. Alan Crabb is supposed to be a shooter. He's not shooting. Like, the Hawks bench is just bad.
Well, and they're down Herter, too. I assume he's out for
a down. Oh, yeah. What's he at? Is he back? Going to be back anytime soon?
No, it said 5 to 6 weeks, and that was on the 19th, so I would guess not.
Yeah, they are just – yeah, now they're really without Collins and Herter. Just how are they going to get buckets outside of Trey? So – yeah, it's not going to be very hard to score. And when Trey's out of the game, the Hawks can't score. Pacers should win this one, even on.
Yeah, in terms of Pacers butchers or Pacers X factor, I guess I think it's the bench, right? Just the bench has got to have a solid.
The bench could be one. I'm actually going with either center could be a good choice. So I'll just take Turner. We haven't hardly talked about Miles today.
Week. I mean, that's why.
Yeah, he returned from injury and was Miles.
I mean, I'm not hating on him or anything.
No, he's fine. The Hawks centers are just not very good, and Turner is good. So play good, they should win.
Yeah,
keep Trey from going crazy, they should win.
Real quick, I didn't realize Turner's shooting 44% from three.
He's balling.
I did not. I mean, I knew he was shooting well. I didn't know it was 44%. Holy shit. Yeah. Okay, anyways.
Turner's really good. Surprise.
So the only way the Pacers lose this game is if there's some Thanksgiving hangover. Right? I mean, that's the only way.
Yeah.
No matter who plays.
Here's another anecdote I have to say the Pacers should win this game, Adam.
Okay.
You remember the team the Pacers threw out against the Hawks in the last game of last season and won?
Oh, yeah. That was the Sumner, like, Alize, like, just who knows who played in that game.
Yeah. Darren Collison was, like, the only starter that actually played in that game because he'd been hurt for a while. Other than that, it was just random dudes. Sorry.
That was Sumner saving everybody's Pacers over bet. Literally by himself.
Right, he hit the three free throws at the end, and like Alize played big minutes. TJ Leaf started. Like, yeah, it was weird. And they won, and they still won. That's the Hawks. They scored 135 because the Hawks defense sucks. So, yeah, they should win this game.
Yes, they should win this game. All right.
Now,
last game of the week.
Their biggest game of the season, I would say. As well.
Yeah.
Finally, I guess the Bucks, but I mean, Brogdon was hurt and stuff. If Brogdon's back, easily the biggest game of the year. Philadelphia 76ers, for some reason. Not even for some reason. You know, every good East team just kind of has this, you know, against the Sixers. Embiid's got this personality. Their players are good. People just want to beat the Sixers. The Sixers, rightfully so, are a good team this year. 11-5, ninth in defense, 12th in offense. Pretty much they're good at everything that basketball teams are good at outside of three-point shooting.
So, Tony, you're missing the biggest thing in this game so far.
Oh, don't tell me. The Kyle Quinn revenge game?
No. The biggest thing going on in this game. The biggest thing.
What is it?
It's a back-to-back.
Oh, it's a back-to-back. I did know that.
Which is huge because Embiid might not play. I don't know. I know he didn't play a last back-to-back.
Adam, it's a back-to-back for the Patriots also.
Yes, but if Embiid doesn't play, that's a huge, huge difference than any Pacer that could not play.
Yeah, it's a travel back-to-back for both teams. Yeah, Embiid might not play. I think he does play back-to-back this year.
He didn't play the one they've had this year so far. Really? That was 2 weeks ago. On 12th and 13th, he didn't play. They've not had any other back-to-backs.
They had a back-to-back against the Heat literally last night. Did he play in that game?
He did play both games. So, yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
So he probably will play unless something happens in the Knicks game for them or something. But, you know, Tobias Harris has not shot well for them. He was supposed to be their, like, full source of three-point shooting, basically. Josh Richardson shot okay. Obviously, Simmons made one. That's a joke. You know, Horford's not making them. Embiid is a little bit below average, though. He creates his own, so those are fine. Pretty much all they're shooting this year is Korkmaz off the bench. Mike Scott's been okay off the bench, but they're pretty not good shooting team. They're unfortunately, they're really good at pretty much everything else. But yeah, if you, I think Turner being a good paint defender will pay dividends this game. I mean, Embiid owns him every time they play, but if he can not foul Embiid 3 times in 60 seconds and stay in the game, that would be very helpful against a team that cannot shoot. And
to me, it feels like the Sixers certainly got a ton better, but I don't know about that. Well, okay, Finn, they got slightly better. But I don't know about that. Okay, fine. They tried to get slightly better. I was interested in Horford. But to me, they actually ended up playing more into the Pacers' strengths.
They did as best as they can to keep a good team when Jimmy F and Butler left.
That's true. Oh, you're right, yeah. I feel like they got better. They're still really good.
Like, Josh Richardson's awesome, and Al Horford I obviously have loved on this podcast for many a year. But, like, dude, like, Korkmaz is their sixth in minutes this year. Like, you know, They didn't pick up the bench pieces as well as I would have liked for them to do.
Should the Pacers at home low key? Oh, no, they're not. They're going to Philadelphia.
No, they're in Philly. They should not win. They should not be able to win this game.
But I think a back to back could be big for the Pacers and their depth.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the thing is, the Sixers played the Knicks the night before, who they could just stomp and
run. That's true. And going from New York to Philadelphia is literally a train ride, so it's not really a train.
Yeah. So yeah, but I think, you know, the focus, obviously, the Sixers starters just a ridiculous net rating this year too. You know, a Simmons, Harris, Richardson, Horford, and Embiid lineup is nuts. It's amazing. And it's hard to keep up with them. And their bench is not pretty good. You know, Korkmaz is playing a lot of minutes. And Korkmaz is Furkan Korkmaz. Like, come on.
So,
and Mike Scott, you know, Sixers fans like, Mike Scott, he's just not too awesome. Trey Burke, same thing. You know, James Ennis might be their most effective bench player. So the bench is, again, this is a big bench week. The bench is where the Pacers are going to have to target this team. Love the McConnell revenge game factor, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing this one and how the Pacers bench can try to keep up, because I don't think the starters can keep up with the Sixers.
So if Brogdon plays, this will be the first time all five first day starters back together in like God knows how many weeks.
Well, yeah, but given Naz's assignment, maybe that's. So,
but the other thing is Sumner's got to be close, right?
Yes, I think he is.
I mean, they said 3 weeks, but at the end of October, and now we're at day 23 of that 3 weeks, or 24 if it's on the Monday of Thanksgiving week. Yeah. Not that the Pacers five guys are as good as the Sixers, because they certainly aren't, but it does feel like there's an opportunity with Brogdon healthy. Turner healthy, they should be able to be not like minus 20 against them, maybe minus 5 return points, and the bench should be able to kind of carry them past them.
I guess that would be the hope. If Brogdon is back, maybe it's closer, but I still think, you know, we've seen 2 straight years of Embiid just punking Miles, and Horford again last year in the playoffs punked Sabonis. Like, this is a disastrous matchup for the front court. Josh Richardson can defend. Like, whoever Tobias, this is amazing, but whoever Tobias Harris is guarding between Warren and Lamb, I'm guessing it would be Warren, but I don't know. That player is going to have to be good. Like, that player is going to have to create and make their shots, or else it's going to be really hard for the Pacers to generate offense, I think.
See, I feel like if Brogdon plays, and I know he keeps saying if, it feels like he can kind of break through this the Simmons defense, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to remember how it was when they used to play. I mean, I know the Bucks were so – he played the third option in the Bucks, so it was totally different, but it does feel like they have that opportunity. And it feels like if they put Embiid into every kind of pick and roll, they can make something work. Because that was always the plan with Oladipo, is you put him into the pick and roll, and then you just sort of like isolated him out on the perimeter and you made Embiid make a play, and oftentimes you could kind of get other guys trying to cheat to help out and whatnot, and just that's how they beat him usually.
Yeah. Yeah, how'd they beat him the one time last year? They just got offense from guys they don't normally get offense from. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know Philly is supposed to be like the second best team in the East and the big, you know.
I think they are. They're really good. Man,
maybe because they haven't been like the most dominant because of the Pacers the past 3 years. It just feels like the Pacers could win this game just because, like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like Philly's like worlds better than them, I guess.
I want Miles to flip off the crowd again. That was fun.
Philly definitely has a lot of flaws, put it that way, for a really good team. In terms of Simmons shooting, in terms of just like
Agent Horford. When they get a guy on the buyout market, I think they will be awesome. Because they're shallow. It's just how it works for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same story as last year, right? They had about six good players. They needed seven or eight, and they could probably have made a run to the NBA Finals if they had.
Yeah, they can actually get him this time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm picking the Sixers. I just think they're really good. But we have to do a lot of stuff still. Butchers, I mean, obviously they have two stud, going to be all-star level guys, but I'm picking Horford. We know Embiid's going to be awesome. We know Simmons is going to be awesome. But the way Horford handles Sabonis, you know, Sabonis is sometimes the only offense the Patriots can get. He's a hub. He can do everything. The way Al Horford just owns him is unbelievable. And if Sabonis can't get anything done, it's just, like I said, whoever Tobias Harris is guarding is going to have to be awesome. And I don't see any reason why Horford can't continue to own the guy that he's owned for, you know, all the playoffs last year. So, yeah, Horford is my butcher. He is going to be very good for them.
So I'm going to go kind of the opposite and go a defensive butcher. So
I picked Horford as a defensive butcher.
So. Well, I assume Matisse Thybulle is going to be shadowing Doug McDermott, if I had to guess.
Who?
Matisse Thybulle.
If he plays,
right. Is he still hurt? What was his?
No, he plays when they have a wing above him hurt. He's like, I think he's like their first guy out of the fully healthy rotation.
To me, it feels like he should be the guy they have shadowing Doug McDermott, I guess, but I don't know.
When he does play, he's a monster. So they have Ennis and Korkmaz on the wing ahead of him, so he doesn't play when they both are healthy.
And Korkmaz has an ankle injury. I wonder if he probably won't play against back-to-back as well.
No, who knows?
Who knows? But I feel like he'll be the guy. I mean, his defensive rating is – I mean, I know it's kind of limited in, but something like what's he playing per game? Like 20 minutes per game, give or take? Not even in his games that he plays?
Yeah.
15 a game, but he's got like a ridiculously low defensive rating for a guy that's playing 15 minutes per game.
Man, I like Thybulle a lot. He was good. He's a good player. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good choice, I guess. I mean, Ennis is not as like a fake. I've called him a fake 3-and-D guy before, but you know, he can be okay.
So mine leads into like what if Doug McDermott has an awesome game, he's the reason the Pacers could win this game. That's kind of why. I guess that's kind of goes to it, right? I
mean, McDermott too, maybe.
Yeah. Well, McDermott McConnell getting some of that revenge game, McConnell getting some of that McDermott. If that combination is like a plus 20. Pacers probably win. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
They could be. They easily could be. I mean, I'm.
Is McDermott your X factor for the same reason?
I think I would go with McDermott McConnell as my X factor, but yes. Yeah. Same kind of.
That was a good pick.
In the same vein.
Yeah, I've already kind of said mine is whoever Tobias Harris is guarding. I'm guessing he'll be on TJ Warren. So mine's going to be TJ Warren. If he can create his own offense and keep the Pacers in the game when it's starters versus starters, that's huge. So TJ Warren, good luck.
Yeah, sneaky X factor that I'm not picking, but like this is the kind of game where if Turner wants to break out of his shell and prove that he's not just Embiid's beat. I'm trying to say I don't want to say B word.
Oh my gosh, you're totally right though. I mean, Embiid.
This is his chance to kind of just like prove that he's not Embiid's B word. I don't want to say it. I'm not going to say
right. Embiid has just completely owned him for the last 2 years. So
I mean that's a chance. But
Embiid owns a lot of dudes. Like whatever, but.
Drummond
owns Turner, but like Turner stays in the game and keeps the Pacers in it. Like Turner just fouls Embiid and can't do it. Yeah, we'll see.
To me, if Embiid plays, Sixers easily win. If he doesn't play, I think the Pacers win. And I don't. It's a back to back, so I don't know. I mean, it seems like Embiid should play, but I don't know.
I even think if Embiid doesn't play, Sixers could win.
I don't. So. They're just so not. They're not.
I am deep. Picking the Sixers.
They're just so. After like six, they're just like terrible.
Yeah, they're a very shallow team at this.
That's point. Why if you miss one guy, it's like, all of a sudden, like you said, you've got like maybe Kyle Quinn playing minutes. And I mean, I love Kyle Quinn. I love him. Nah,
do not knock our guy.
Love Kyle Quinn, but like if he's playing minutes, I'm not scared of a team.
Kyle Quinn's per 36 stats are always just like hilariously good.
Yeah. I think they lose
13-5 this year. Gotta love Kyle Quinn.
I think he's going to play, so I'll say that they lose.
Yeah, I'm picking the Sixers as well.
What you both
just,
pick?
Oh, like season? Simmons just makes so many cross match problems for this team. And finally, like Brogdon is tall. You know, a lot of the reason they struggled with Simmons in the past is that Sabonis, is that Collison and Joseph were just tiny. At least Brogdon is big and makes that more interesting, but Simmons is just too good.
I will say, with Oladipo, Brogdon, everybody back, I think the Pacers team might be as good as the Sixers team in a playoff series. I think because of the depth.
Maybe.
The depth
actually have a way to score.
Exactly. You
know? So maybe.
I just feel like there's some depth there the Pacers have that should be able to kind of take advantage of this. Now, Embiid could just go otherworldly and be like the top five player that he could easily be if he could just like be on the court for 40 minutes a game and get in shape. And I know he's getting better shape every year, but I do feel like there is a chance this Pacers team is deep enough where they could challenge some of these shallow teams, kind of the same way the Pacers used to challenge the Miami Heat when they were with LeBron and Wade, because they were just so much deeper they could just kind of compete and wear you down for at least two or three wins, and then maybe a fourth win breaks your way at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I got nothing else. It's going to be a fun week.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Some fun ways to prove themselves with good opponents and good players coming their way.
They basically played, what, like five games in the last 2 weeks, give or take? They played three, but they played a Tuesday, then had a huge break, and then a back-to-back on the weekend. And
they're healthy now. We can stop talking this about week. That crap.
Yeah, well, they're not healthy yet because Oladipo comes back. That's when they're healthy.
Well, okay.
Let's be real.
The non-Vic division guys are finally getting healthy.
Yeah, but what I will say is it does feel like that we're getting into like a more fun stretch of the season and a more interesting stretch where we'll really know if this team is at least average.
Yes, I agree. As always, you can follow this podcast at Locked On Pacers, me at TE's NBA, Adam at Freeman Adam 5. Announcement, we're only probably doing 4 episodes this week, so yay.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. We will also be enjoying Thanksgiving. Don't forget to check out the mighty folks at MyBookie for their Thanksgiving promo. Free bet on that Bears-Lions game. And we will see you guys tomorrow to talk about the game.